This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
Welcome to Dreamland. My guest today is Arielle Ford. Arielle is a love and relationship expert. She's a leader in the personal growth and spirituality movement, and for the past 25 years, she's been living, teaching, and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. She's the producer and host of Evolving Wisdom's Art of Love series. She's a gifted writer and the author of 11 books, including the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. But today, Arielle is here to introduce a book her sister, Debbie Ford, wrote, Your Holiness. You see, Debbie passed on February 17th of 2013, and Arielle is here to share how this beautiful book, Your Holiness, came to be. Welcome, Arielle.
Thank you, Marla. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, this is such an amazing journey. So please tell our listeners how this whole thing came about.
Yeah, it's a really wild and crazy story. So James von Prague has been a longtime friend of both mine and my husband's and my sister's. And for the three people listening who don't know who he is, he's one of the world's leading mediums. He talks to dead people better than anybody. And the movie, The Sixth Sense, was about his life. And the TV series, Ghost Whisperer, was about his life. And that's what he specializes at. And a little more than a year ago, he called me to say that he had recently moved to San Diego, where we live, and he was inviting my husband and I and my mom to come see his new house, and then he was going to give us a reading with my sister, Debbie. So, of course, we said yes. We couldn't wait to, you know, see him again and have the reading. And as soon as he sat down and began to bring Debbie in, the very first thing she said was, "Arielle, you have to write a prayer book with me." And I said, "No way. I don't want to write my own books, let alone try to figure out how to write your books. It's just not going to happen." And she was really, really insistent. I was like, "Debbie, this just isn't going to work. You know, what are we going to do? Torture poor James to do daily channeling sessions? You know, it's not possible." So she went away for a while, and other dead relatives came in to talk to us. My two dads came in, and my husband's parents, and we had a really good time. But like every 5 minutes, Debbie would pop back in, "Arielle, you have to write a prayer book with me." And then James said to me, "Who's Minnie? She keeps talking to me about Minnie." And I said to James, "Well, that's amazing, because nobody knows this. You can't Google this information, but Bo, Debbie's son, has a half-sister named Minnie, and that's not even her real name. That's her nickname." And he said, "Okay, it all makes sense now. She wants you to tell Bo that she was with him when he was with Minnie." Now, what James didn't know and couldn't have known was the week before, Minnie was here in San Diego visiting us from London, where she lives. So then I thought, okay, now he's just showing off, right?
in James fashion, yes, I got
right?
it.
Yeah, because truly, this information doesn't exist. Most of the people who knew my sister never knew about Minnie. So so she's still on top of us. You got to write a prayer book. You got to write a prayer book. And finally, I just said to James, "I don't know how I'm going to do this. You're going to have to help me, because she's never going to leave us alone, and she'll never leave you alone until we say yes." Because she was pushy.
Yeah.
So, okay, I said yes. I have no idea how we're going to do this, but yes, we will write a prayer book with you. So we're driving home, and my husband says to me, "You know, I spent so much time with your sister before she died. I took her to the doctors. I took her to the chemo appointments. We were together all the time." And he said, "I remember she told me she had written some prayers. Why don't you call her office, and maybe somebody there has copies of them, and that would at least be a start of a book."
Kudos to Brian for his intuitive
and his memory. So I get home, and I send her office an email. Just a one-sentence email, and it says, Do you by chance have copies of any prayers that Debbie wrote? And I get an email back that says, oh, I can do better than that. She wrote an entire manuscript. I've attached it. And now I'm like freaking out because I was her one and only literary agent. So how is it possible that she wrote a book that I never knew about? And so I open it up and I start reading, and I read all 200 pages in one sitting. The book is complete. It is fully edited. It is absolutely stunning, breathtakingly beautiful. It's the best book she's ever written. And
yes.
I'm completely blown away. So I pick up the phone and I call her editor at Harper. And I say, hey, Gideon, hi, how are you? It's Arielle. And the first thing he says to me, he said, I'm glad you called. I've been feeling so guilty for the last 4 years. Your sister always wanted to write a prayer book, and I always talked her out of it. And now, at least now I know why I didn't know about the book, because she went to Gideon first. He said no, so she gave up. But I said to him, well, Gideon, today's your redemption day. Check your inbox.
So, I loved it.
Right. How crazy is this? So 3 days later, they bought the book. And a month ago, the book came out. It's called Your Holiness, Discover the Light Within. And
yeah.
The good news is all I had to write was the 5-page foreword, which tells the story of how we found her unpublished manuscript.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, thank God, right? Because I could not have written this book, you know, because the book contains a lot of her original prayers, as well as her favorite prayers by Emmett Fox and Marianne Williamson and Rumi and others. But it's much more than just a bunch of prayers. It's a narrative.
Sure.
It's a very prescriptive book that begins by telling the story of how prayer saved her life when she was in drug recovery treatment center. So
yes.
The book, it weaves through this whole personal, very personal story. And then it actually, in each chapter, shows you how to use prayer to heal every part of your personality, your emotions, your money problems, your career problems, your out-of-integrity issues, but all in this very loving, peaceful, coded narrative of that, you know, you can connect to your divine self and prayer can save your life.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk more about this, but we're going to take a break right now.
War Day is one of Whitley Strieber's most powerful books. Join him and his co-author Jim Konietka as they travel across the United States devastated by limited nuclear war. This acclaimed novel was originally published in the 1980s, but now that North Korea has said that they can hit the U.S. with nukes, it's more timely than ever. Don't miss this informative, exciting, and convincing testament to the power of the human spirit in challenging times like our own. Get the ebook for $3.99. Go to Strieber.com for this and all of Whitley's great books.
Yes, Arielle, both you and Debbie are no-nonsense girls who like to tell it as it is, and Debbie is brutally honest about being an addict. So let's talk about this.
Yeah, and I like, you know, one of the things I explained to people is that she was probably one of the world's most successful drug addicts. Because in spite of the fact that she was doing massive quantities of drugs, she was also running a very successful business. She had 5 women's clothing stores. She had a beautiful Porsche Cabriolet convertible. She had a tribe of people that followed her out to the nightclubs every night. So on the outside, she was this beautiful, successful, wealthy, hot, chic woman who had this deep, dark secret. And she had gone to 3 treatment centers and never completed the 28-day process. She always bolted on the 10th day.
I know. And she admits finagling her way out of that treatment center.
Yeah, well, you know, you check yourself out, and she did. But the week, or actually 10 days before she went into the final treatment center, she had consumed more than 1,000 Percodan pills in a week. and massive quantities of cocaine. And even she knew that if she kept that up, she didn't have much long to live. And when she realized she was too embarrassed to call her drug dealer to get more drugs, because even he wouldn't believe that she had gone through everything she had bought the last time, she finally decided that she wanted to save her life and went to the drug treatment center.
Mm. Wow. Well, just to add to this, I have the book open here, and I want to read something that she says. I was the girl who had money, success, opportunities, friendships, and the world at my fingertips. But in the quietness of my inner world, I hated myself. I hated my life. I was angry, judgmental, confused, and disorganized. I was tired, desperate, and lonely, and the only thing that ever took away my pain was the carefully selected mixture of drugs that she got a hold of, basically. So this is our country on so many levels. Many people are suffering with addiction. So this book, which I think is absolutely gorgeous, and you're right, it's so much more than a book about prayer. It's so necessary.
Yes, and my biggest hope for this book is that it can reach those that are in recovery. Because as we all know, we're all addicts, whether we have a heart addiction or a soft addiction or even an addiction to judging ourselves. You know, this is a problem for all of us. And what Debbie discovered in the fourth treatment center was when she got to day 10, the day she usually bolted, and she could feel herself wanting to run out the front door, instead she ran into the bathroom and got on her hands and knees on what she describes as a dirty, filthy bathroom floor and began to pray in a way she'd never prayed before. You know, and she said at a certain point while she was sobbing hysterically and simultaneously praying, a sense of peace came over her and a knowingness that she had the strength and the courage to spend one more day in the treatment center. And that's when she began her love affair with God, where she began to use prayer every single day as a way to get through the day, as a way to fill herself up, as a way to get on the next step of recovery. And it really, truly worked for her. And, you know, this book makes it possible for anybody, regardless of the depths of despair that you're in. Because when you read the way she bleeds on the page, you know, about the pain she was suffering, anybody who's been there will relate to it, but they'll also come away with not just hope and inspiration, but actually the tools for recovery.
Well, I completely agree with you because I get very emotional when reading this book. It's as if this gut-wrenching life and death had such purpose because there's a frequency to her words that cuts deep into the soul. It's a profound reminder to, I don't know, live better, love better, treat people better, and make the most of our lives.
Yeah. And she certainly, you know, more than anybody understands the need for love and hope and compassion, you know, because she suffered so much. And, you know, I often think about why did this book come out now, 5 years after her passing? And, you know, as we know so well, you know, the spirit, the soul never dies. You know, she's still there. She's just without a body. And I think, you know, I think for her, it was a timing thing. You know, she couldn't have done it in the last couple of years of her life because she was so sick. She wouldn't have been able to promote it properly. And I think now, given the need and the awareness of opioids and other drugs, I think the timing is just perfect.
It is. And, well, we just don't know how spirit is working on the other side as far as time is concerned. Our time is not the same as theirs. And it's perfect. It is perfect timing. You know, how was this affecting you in this experience with her? Because she didn't pass from an addiction. She died from cancer. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
She had a very rare cancer, the name of which I never bothered to learn because it was so long, but it was very rare. They knew from the diagnosis that it would be terminal. There was no treatment for it, although she ended up living 2.5 years longer than they thought she would because she never gave up. She was a fighter. She tried every experimental thing you can imagine. Wayne Dyer personally took her to have healing sessions with John of God. And I think it was both her strong will and her willingness to try everything that kept her going longer than that. But at the end, it was as bad as a cancer death can be. I mean, she was really immobile and in bed for 7 weeks and was still fighting to the very end. You know, she really didn't want to let go. So for me, it's like having her back again, you know, because every time I hear a video or an audio, of which we have gazillions of them, she's here. I read her words. She's here. She whispers to me in the bathtub every day, telling me what she wants me to do next. So she's still bossing me around from the other side. So she's still here. So I would say on a grieving, healing level, the book sort of got me to the end zone. You know, because for the first couple of years, even though intellectually I knew where she was, I still had this yearning for her physical presence. And I don't really have that anymore because it's not like it used to be where we were together some of the time. There's a level on which we're just together all the time.
Yes. Well, you know, just to go into the book a little bit, she talks about shifting into this God consciousness after she's praying on the floor of that dirty bathroom. And she talks about humility, how it opens the door and lights the way to crawl out of the dungeon of our darkness and despair. So in going through some of this book, the experience to shift, what do you, in your experience of knowing her, what else do you see in us that makes us need to shift into this God consciousness?
Yeah, I think it's one of these things. It's kind of like dancing, you know? Sometimes you're Fred and you're leading, and sometimes you're Ginger and you're following. and you know, shifting, you know, it comes sort of in spurts and in aha moments. Oh, this just worked for me. Maybe if I do more of this, I'll feel more healed and more whole. You know, and then we get triggered, you know, as we all do. And then we have to go back, and we need to have what I call a spiritual toolbox. And I think Your Holiness is the perfect book for a spiritual toolbox. Like, my spiritual toolbox is filled with both books, things like tapping, EFT tapping, heart math lock-ins, the Sedona method, you know, prayer, guided meditations. And I think for anybody at this point who wants to be able to exist in the craziness of life on Earth right now, we have to become our own physicians. You know, we have to take care of our nervous system.
Right.
You know, so if you know, and so many of the prayers in this book are so short. You know, they're just 4 lines.
Yeah.
You know, and the way I use the book now is if I'm, you know, stuck in a negative spiral of thinking, I'll just randomly open to a page and point my finger and read what's there. Like, I just did it now. I don't even know what I'm going to read to you.
Okay, good.
Says,
all right.
When we're connected to our inner world, we already are what we seek. We already have what we long for. And most important, we know that we never have to create from a place of lack. When we return to our true source inside, we feel good about who we are. We feel worthy enough to experience the joy of manifesting what we desire in our outer life. When we are connected to our outer world, we see the kinds of experiences we want to have that will be fun, exciting, and creative, and that will support us in our evolution and growth. Mm. We no longer have to ask, what can I do and what can I get to make myself feel better about being? Instead, we understand the undeniable truth that we are whole and worthy, loved and lovable. We are able to plant the seeds of our desires in our well-fertilized consciousness and know they will come to fruition.
True.
Right?
And speaking
there's
of
a whole
speaking...
book filled with this stuff.
I know. I turned to one. It says, Dear God, dance with me. Hold me tight like a lover. spin me around until a smile covers my face. Lift me up, and when my feet touch the ground, let me know I am one with you.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
I know, they're so beautiful. And speaking of seeking, I noticed that I heard about a tattoo you got on your arm with your nephew that says a Rumi quote.
Yes, it says, "What you seek is seeking you," and it is a temporary tattoo. We just got them because we wanted to sort of punk his mom, my sister-in-law. He was down here on spring break. And I thought, oh, let's make up a whole big story that we went out drinking, had too much tequila, and got matching tattoos.
Well, tell me, well, because that is such a great Rumi quote, what does that mean to you?
What you seek is seeking you?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that every desire that we have, the seeds for the fulfillment of that desire already exist, or I wouldn't have the desire. And so there's an unseen plane that is sort of drawing us to that which will be most beneficial, to the desires that will give us fulfillment. So I believe that if, let's say you're seeking a soulmate, right? I also believe your soulmate is seeking you, but it's your job to become visible to the soulmate. Because if you're just sitting home alone on the couch watching the Kardashians,
oh, God.
You can't be found, right?
Right. Well, you know, this is a good little segue here, because that is exactly one of the things that we're going to be talking about in the second half of this show for the subscribers. So let's hang on to that thought, because I do want to extrapolate more on that. But getting back again to the book, I saw that there is a 24-hour consciousness cleanse. I think we all need that.
Yes, and it's actually an entire book that Debbie did. It was called the 21-Day Consciousness Cleanse, and a short version of it is in the book, and I have not memorized it, so I can't tell you that much about it, which is the problem with promoting somebody else's book.
but I think for me,
a consciousness cleanse is about, you know, staying aware when I'm having angry, toxic, or judgmental thoughts, and allowing myself a second to be with those, as opposed to denying them or suppressing them, and then forgiving myself and replacing the angry, negative, or toxic, or judgmental thoughts with something more uplifting and more positive.
Well, and she mentions here, she says, basically that. It's a way to purify and rejuvenate the soil of your inner world. And boy, sometimes we just get a little too much manure in that soil, don't we?
Yeah, no, I mean, and it happens. And I think right now it's probably happening a lot more often to a lot more people. And the reason for that is not only do we deal with and carry the stress of our own individual lives, you know, regardless of what it is, whether it's health or money or family or relationships or all of them, not enough time. Mm-hmm. But those of us that are sensitive and empathetic, we are feeling the stress of the world.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not only having to digest our own stress, we're on overload. We have like chronic reflux of having to deal with the stress of the outer world. And I don't know about you, Marla, but right now I know at least 8 people in the hospital. And they're some of the most deeply spiritual, aware people I know.
Yeah.
And they've just, it's been a tsunami of craziness that has taken them down. So,
well, you know, it's very interesting, because I think those of us, excuse me, who are empathic and do take on various elements of this need boundaries. We need boundaries in such a strong way, not just physical boundaries by keeping certain people away from us or engaging in certain things, but the elemental boundary of setting up a protection of energetic frequency, of not engaging in things that you hear, things that you see, and literally creating some form of protection. There are various people out there that have, you know, numerous ways of doing this. But I think of it as the intention of a boundary. Because the people that have the strongest boundaries, I think Brene Brown said that, are the most conscious people that she knows, the ones that basically learn to set boundaries, the ones that are most boundaried. And I think that's really an important thing.
Yeah. One of the most important things I ever learned was from Gay Hendricks when he explained to me that the word no is a complete sentence.
I love that. Well, the end of the book, is the last chapter, is Reclaim Your Light. And there's also Unleashing Your Inspiration. So I just think that, you know, it's one of the most endearing, powerful books because, as I said earlier, there's a frequency here in this book, Arielle. And I think that who better than to have suffered for so long that was a champion here. I mean, she has numerous books that she was very successful. She was the best-selling author of The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. And she really delved into the secret of the shadows and in working a spiritual divorce. So she has lots of other books, but I really do empower people to, you know, pick up this book. It's delicious. Oh, and you have some very exciting things to offer our listeners.
Yes. Yeah. So if anybody goes to debbieford.com, there's lots of ways to buy the book there. But anybody who buys the book gets this whole package of bonuses, including a half-hour video where, through James von Prague, I interview Debbie about the book, and she goes really deep dish about why she wrote the book and what she's learned about love and forgiveness now that she's on the other side. We have a whole package of her audio meditations and processes, and then there's the opportunity to win a weekend at the Shadow Process, and another opportunity to win a free reading with James von Prague, which is really special because you can't buy a reading with James. He doesn't
do
privates anymore.
He doesn't do them anymore. Yeah. Well, this is so great. And, you know, some of our listeners might already know this, but I spent 3.5 years with James von Prague. And it was because of this incredible, synchronistic, amazing thing that I detail in my book that happened to get me into his house, to have me be a student of his, to have me be a volunteer, because I didn't believe in this talking to the dead business. He's actually the reason that I'm on this radio program right now.
That's so funny. The world is so small.
He is
a special being, and no wonder you're such a master at what you do. You were trained by the master.
Well, exactly. And I was not a willing participant, in fact, but that's another story. So this is just, it's wonderful for our listeners. And Arielle, I'm excited to share that our mutual friend, Randy Thomas, mm-hmm. narrates the audio version of Her Holiness, Your Holiness. And for our listeners, Randy, excuse me, has just celebrated her 9th year of announcing the Oscars. And she's just made history as the first female announcer for the 30-year-old iconic news show, Nightline. And I just think that that's amazing.
Yes, it is. Yep. I actually spent a lot of time talking the publisher into making sure Randy got to be the voice, because generally there are people whose only job it is to voice books, you know, and Randy, of course, she's done the Oscars, the Emmys, the Tonys, you know,
yeah.
They're thinking, no, this isn't a fit. And I was like, listen, you got to do this. And it worked out great.
Well, I know that she's so honored to have been supported by you in being the voice of this book. And she considered Debbie, I get emotional when I even think about it because I listen to Randy tell stories. She considered Debbie her best friend. So we're coming to the end of our free Dreamland program. And I just want to say that, you know, there's so much more information on our site about Arielle and her books. And I just am so thrilled to have you here. Thank you, Free Dreamlanders, for listening. If you are a subscriber, I'm going to be continuing my conversation with Arielle about love, soulmates, and how your dead relatives can help guide you to your next relationship. If you're not a subscriber, please consider becoming one. Dreamland has the most amazing archives you can't get anywhere else. So go to the website, click on the Subscribe Now tab, and see what we offer. Thank you, Arielle.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, Debbie, for piercing the veil and sharing your love. May you both continue to be ever radiant with your message.
You've been listening to Dreamland, Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host. And I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.